Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing really, really well. This is Joanna, and this is our second call in our breakthrough questioning module. It's call 2 out of 3 in this module. Last week, we looked together at the foundational elements of what makes really good breakthrough questions, what makes really good questions. And today we're going to be looking at different types of questions and also a couple of question sequences. This is really our call today, or even just this whole questioning module, is kind of really just the beginning when it comes to our full exploration of questioning and questioning sequences. This is sort of like the building blocks. And then as we get to our more advanced modules, like rewiring negative thought patterns, befriending your fear, getting off the wheel of self-sabotage, we'll look at many more questions and question sequences. I'll give you particular question sequences in those. But I will give you some sequences today. This is one of those classes, you know, most of the classes that we do, hopefully you've experienced by now what I'm about to say, which is that we also do a lot of inner work, and you're doing inner work, you know that that's one of the three pillars that I think is so important to be a sacred depths coach and a masterful coach, is personal mastery. But this is one of those classes where we're actually not going to do too much inner work. A little bit might come up here or there. This is going to be a little bit more, I'm just going to be giving you a whole lot of content and information. I'm going to be talking about different types of questions, how, when to use them, and how to use them. If you are a seasoned practitioner and you're really good at questioning and you've been asking questions for a long time, this is one of those classes that I don't want you to tune out on. I want you to pay really close attention. And here's the reason why. Sometimes when we're seasoned, we can get into a little bit of a rut when it comes to our questions. And what I mean by that is we have certain questions that we ask a lot, and we ask them over and over again because we know that they work. And that's great. We don't want to stop asking the questions that we know really work with our clients. But what I think is important is to continue to expand your repertoire of questions, to continue to expand your toolkit of questions, because what can happen is that if our clients sort of hear the same questions from us over and over again, they can get into a rut as well. And we're not doing the job of opening up new possibilities, expanding new ideas for them. It's a little similar to what I was sharing about last week in terms of language. If you remember when we were kind of taking a look at language and questioning, one of the last things I shared around that is that one of my practices is to always look for new language and new concepts to bring forward to my clients. Sometimes, I mean, it's great to review concepts that are already known and go deeper into them and unpack them for sure, 100%, but there's also something so valuable about bringing in the new, a new term that hasn't used before, et cetera. Well, same with new kinds of questions. All right, so all that being said, let's dive straight in. There's so many questioning categories that we could look at. I've packed a lot into today's call. Not all of them. They're definitely, if this is not an exhaustive exploration, there's more, but I've really covered not only some of the most common types of question categories, but some of the others that a lot of coaches aren't using, but I think are really powerful and really effective and great to use. So I'm going to just go through the categories, talk a little bit about when and how, and give you different examples. So first kind of category that I want you to think about, category of questions, I call it the am I getting that right line of questioning. Am I getting that right? And so these types of questions are really, if you think back to our creating awareness module, the am I getting that, it's similar. Am I getting that right is you've heard, you know, a client share something and you mirror back to them what you've heard, and then you want clarity on if you've gotten that right or not. There's two reasons why you're going to do this. One is, as we looked at in creating awareness, it's so powerful for a client to be seen and heard, and then for her to also hear what she has just shared or described. And it allows her to take it in a deeper way. The other reason is because of our filters, right? So even though we're checking our listening filters, we still may not be hearing correctly or may not be totally getting it right, and so we always want to clarify on that. So examples of some am I getting that right questions are really just as simple as, you know, what I just heard you say is X, right? And then repeat back what you just heard. Am I getting that right? Just a little bit of a reminder from creating awareness, how you language back to your client what you're hearing can make all of the difference. That's a great moment, actually, to not only mirror their language, but maybe add in some of those new ideas or new concepts or push something a little bit further than you heard, if you sense that they actually, it is pushed further, but they just haven't articulated it yet. And then always ask, am I getting it right? And you can see if it resonates or not. The next definition of questions to think about, and this is a category, the next category of questions to think about, this is a category that I use a lot. I call them definition questions. So what are definition questions? Well, a client will use different kinds of phrases or share different kinds of terms, terminology, or concepts. And you might think that you know what the client means, but you might not. So in those situations, you want to ask your client a definition question. But there's another moment to ask a definition question. If a client uses a word or a concept in something they're sharing with you, they may talk about freedom or family, or they may say a romantic relationship, or they may use the term success or balance, you know, whatever it is, they might be using that word, that term, that concept, but they may not have fully defined that concept for themselves. And it can be so, so, so powerful when an individual defines a concept for themselves. So, for example, you may have been through the exercise before. I sometimes do this in groups where you're asked to define a certain topic like success, right? Success means something different to each person listening to this call. What's so valuable is when you can sit down and identify for yourself what it means for you and unpack for yourself what it means for you. When you're able to do that, when you're able to support a client to create a definition for themselves on a concept that they might just be throwing around or haven't fully unpacked, it will help them discern the difference between their desires versus their expectations, or what other people's expectations are on that concept. It will help them understand what's aligned for them on that concept, and it will help them see where some of their limiting beliefs are around the concept too. So if you remember back to last week, I said one of the foundational elements of asking a really good breakthrough question is that you as a coach are always helping your client connect the dots, both in terms of your quick thinking because you're a whip smart coach, you need to slow down, but also help your clients connect their own dots. And definition questions are one way to do that. So here are a couple different examples of definition questions. Just quite simply, what does X mean to you? What does freedom mean to you? What does success mean to you? Or another way to ask would be define why. Define family. Define health. Define wholeness. Another definition question is explain Z a little more. Explain balance a little more. Explain thriving business a little more, right? Or tell me more about. Another great type of definition question is how is X different than why? So in other words, to define the difference between two concepts. How is X different than Y? For example, how is space in your schedule different than space in your mind and your body? Or how is self-trust different than self-confidence? So those definition questions can really open up a lot for clients. I'll go like maybe four categories at a time, and then I'll pause and ask questions and keep on going. Next category that I want you to think about and consider are clarifying current situation questions that help your client and you clarify a current situation. So these types of questions, their purpose is for you as the coach to gather more information and more details on whatever situation your client is bringing forward, just so that you can understand more before you go deeper and unpack more. It will help you understand and guide the questions that you ask next. Sometimes we need more information. Now, one thing to be careful with clarifying current situation questions is only go as far as the details that you need, right? So we were talking last week about curiosity, right? Curiosity is so important when asking questions, but we want to make sure that the curiosity is always in service of the client's end goal desires, the results that the client wants to yield. Sometimes if we're not on top of ourselves, we can just get curious about a dramatic situation, right? A little gossipy, whatever it is. So only go, when you're asking clarifying current situation questions, only go as far as the details you need. These types of questions, the kind of side value or the extra credit value of these is that they really also just help your, you know, by you asking them and your client answering them, it helps your client create more awareness and understanding of the situation for themselves. So here are some examples of clarifying the current situation questions. Maybe a client is sharing about an interaction with a coworker and some kind of situation that happened there. You might want to actually know exactly what the coworker said, right? Maybe your client is talking in generalities, so she really hurt my feelings, or she really pushed me beyond my edges, or, you know, whatever it is. So you might ask, you know, what exactly did your coworker say? If you're working with a client on their business and they share that they had a class and they say nobody signed up, well, you might need some more clarifying current situation questions there. What does nobody signed up mean, right? So when somebody says to me, well, nobody signed up, I want to know more about that. Was there no interest? Did you get no inquiries or questions or interest in the class at all? Or did you get interest, but it was bad timing for people? Did people hop on the phone with you? They were interested, but then by the end of the phone call, they weren't, right? You want to get more information so that you can troubleshoot what's going on there. If a client shares that a date went really badly, how did the date go badly? What are some of the details there, right? So, you know, and you can always just say, well, tell me a little bit more about that. Another great question that can help clarify a situation is, well, you know, let's say a client was sharing that they went and they did something and they really regretted doing it. You know, they made a decision and they really regretted doing it. You might ask, well, what was your original intention in doing X? What was the intention there? That will help you as the coach understand where to go. And again, it creates so much awareness for the client just by clarifying a bit more. Another great clarifying question is, what are you overlooking here? Right? So let's say a client is sharing a story and she's sharing lots of details about the story and she's saying she's really upset, as an example, but you're just not seeing it. You're not seeing how, you know, A equals B, how the details she's sharing are yielding, you know, upset. So, like, what are you overlooking here? Or if she's not giving herself credit for something, what are you overlooking here, right? Or if you just feel like there are details that haven't come to the surface, but you don't know exactly what the details are, what are you overlooking here? So you'll ask that overlooking question if you feel like what the client is sharing is incomplete, but you're not exactly sure where it's incomplete. All right, next category of questions are visioning questions. Now, I know we did a whole module on visioning big new ideas, and that's not exactly what I mean in this context. So yes, we've got those kind of big vision. We'll call those big vision questions. These are more small vision questions, if you will. So these visioning questions are questions that you might ask when a client is working on something or has a situation that needs to change. They're in the middle of working on something, or they're in the middle of a situation or have a family situation or whatever, and it needs to change or it needs to be tweaked. This is a visioning questions can also be used when a client is sharing a situation or sharing an issue that needs to that she wants to get resolved, and she's not quite sure how to get it resolved. Another kind of moment where you know it's a good idea to ask some visioning questions is when a client is almost ready for a big new idea to emerge, but not quite there yet. It's like she's almost baked, but not quite yet. This is a good time to ask one of these questions. Or when you sense that your client is ready for an expansion in one way or another. It can be an inner expansion or an outer expansion. So here are some examples of these visioning questions that you could use in these situations. The what would it look like question. What would it look like if you were pain-free? What would it look like if you found your perfect home? What would it look like if you left your job and owned your own business? What would it look like if you decided to have children? Another type of visioning question is, if you could change one thing about X, what would it be? If you could change one thing about your marriage, what would it be? If you could change one thing about your schedule, what would it be? If you could change one thing about your exercise routine, what would it be, right? So it allows the client, this is, you know, one of those questions when something just needs to change a little bit, be tweaked, it helps the client vision a new way. Or not, it may not be like take a wrecking ball to whatever the thing is, right? But just it helps them tweak it a bit, vision it a new way. Another great question to ask with visioning, and this goes for big visioning or little visioning, if you could have this any way that you want, how would you have it? I always love to ask this question if someone is visioning like a new program, a completely new program. If you could have this any way you want, how would you have it? If you could live anywhere you wanted, where would you live? It's a little bit of that permission that we spoke about in our visioning module, a little bit, you know, handing over the magic wand to your client. It may not be that that's where they end up, but it helps them vision and open up new possibilities and poke holes at the established norm that they think they have to just stay in or fit in. Another question in this category, what would the best possible outcome look like here, right? So that's if a client has an issue that needs to get resolved and they don't know. Something happened with a client and it just got really hairy. It went haywire and they just don't even know how to approach it. So a great question is, what would the best possible outcome look like here? If you can help them vision the outcome, then you can backtrack into how questions. Okay, so how can we get to that outcome, right? But we want to know, we want to understand the outcome first to get to the how question. Another variation on the if you could have this any way you want is, what would an ideal X look like? What would What would an ideal wedding look like? What would an ideal team look like? What would an ideal relationship look like? Another visioning question is, back to the resolving the issue, what would you like to have happen here? What would you like to have happen here? Another one is, what do you see when you step out of the box? That's another permission-giving question, right? What do you see for your business when you step out of the box? What do you see for your home when you step out of the box? What do you see for your family when you step out of the box? Another visioning question. And this is, remember, you know, I've been talking a bit about the four levels of learning and processing transformation. This one would fit into that spirit level. See if you can know why I'm saying this. Where does the universe want you to stretch next? Where does the universe want you to stretch next? Right, it's connecting into a higher wisdom, which is why it's on that spirit level of learning. You could say, where does your inner wisdom want you to stretch? What is your inner wisdom telling you about where to stretch next? This question is particularly good if the client is ready for expansion, or there's that new thing that's just about ready to emerge, but she just needs some prodding, right, to get there. And then last question I'll share in this category. This one can be used in a variety of the categories we're looking at today. Is this simply what else, right? Someone is telling you about a new program that they're putting together. They give you lots of details. If you sense there's more, what else? Tell me more. The one thing with the what else and the tell me more, I'll just say, only ask it if you truly sense that there's more. Because sometimes you can ask the what else question, and if there isn't really anything else, a client may feel like, oh my gosh, there's something I'm not getting here, or there's more and I don't see it, when really there isn't. So sometimes when I ask sometimes I'll just say what else, but sometimes if I'm not 100% sure if there's more, I'll say, you know, this might be it, but I'm just curious, is there more here? Is there anything else here? All right. I still got a lot more categories for us to look at, but I know I'm talking a lot. I want to make sure that you're with me. What questions do you have so far? Star two. Anything I can answer for you on what we've looked at together so far? No? All right. Oh, wait. There's a question. Jessica.
I was wondering, for the how is X different than Y, the definition
mm-hmm.
question,
mm-hmm.
would you only ask that if the person had mentioned those two different phrases in the same, you know, last few minutes? Or would you, you know, if someone was talking about, I don't know, I'm looking at your example. Someone was talking about self-trust. Would you just say, how is self-trust different than self-confidence?
Yeah. It depends on context and who the client is. So it wouldn't only be if they've mentioned both of those concepts. So, for example, let's say a client is talking about space, and they're talking about how they just need to change their schedule, and if they had a better schedule, you know, then they would have more space. Based on what I know about that client, if I know that there's someone that has anxiety no matter what, or is going to fill things up no matter what, I might say, well, what's the difference between space in your schedule versus space in your body and your mind, in order to open up some of that, those new ideas for them, so that we could look at spaciousness on all of those levels.
Great. Thank you. Yes, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Sophie.
Oh, hi, Joanna. May I ask you what question you would ask in a certain context? I had a client situation where I wasn't sure what question to ask. And can I ask you about that?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I had a practice client who was living with her family, and it was causing her a lot of emotional issues to live there, but she didn't want to move out. And so, it's like, which category would be the best for that kind of, like, situation where somebody, like, they, you know, the client didn't want to kind of take responsibility for their own, like, finances, and living at home was a way of kind of avoiding that. So what would be the best category to kind of, like, pull a question from for that situation?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm not going to fully answer you now because we have a lot more categories to go through, and I think it's going to be good
listening. Okay.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to each of the categories and go back and pick some of the questions that you think would have been good for her. When I open up the cues at the end, I want you to start to come back on and share with us what you came up with, and then I'll help you more then. But I want you to do a little more active, like, figuring it out for yourself. I think you'll learn it better that way.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Let's look at some more categories. So next category, you can call this next one, or I call this next one feeling and body questions. Kind of a funny name. Feeling and body questions. So these are related to, the four levels of transformation. You can a little bit in there. These are related to the heart level questions and the body level questions. These are questions that you want to ask when you sense that a client is getting whatever they need to get. They're getting it intellectually. Like, they see it cognitively, they understand it, but you, as the coach, you sense that they're disconnected from what they see. As the coach, or as the coach, you sense like, okay, they got it, but it's not seeping in so much. They're not really taking it in to the level that will actually motivate them to take action here. Usually you're going to ask these questions after you've asked a series of more mental, intellectual, cognitive type questions. And this is about kind of like going deeper. So as an example, maybe you've just done some visioning questions, right? And you asked, if you could change one thing about your relationship, what would it be? Maybe the next question then is, how would that feel? If you could have that, how would that feel for you? I should mention the other reason to ask these feeling or body questions is if you sense that there's a certain emotion that is rolling around underneath the surface for the client that they're not yet aware of, right? You could just create awareness for them by saying, like, I sense there's fear there. Does that resonate with you? But sometimes it's much more powerful for the client to come to that on their own. Another example of a feeling or body question is, how do you feel in your body right now? Or how do you feel in your body as you describe that? How does it feel in your body? You've just described, let's say they've just described, they gave an amazing speech. and they're sharing it with you, how does it feel in your body as you describe that? Or maybe they've just shared, a fight that they had where they didn't stand up for themselves or they let a boundary be crossed. How does that feel in your body? Another body or feeling question is, what energy do you associate that with, right? Maybe they've just described something and you see that there's something going on there for them that they're not seeing. What energy do you associate that with? Or what do you notice about the tone of your voice as you share that with me, right? Sometimes there's anger that comes through or grief that comes through or joy or excitement. Maybe a client is excited about something and they haven't realized yet that they're excited about it. Or maybe they're really mad about something and they haven't realized that they're ready to take a stand on it. What do you notice about the tone of your voice as you share that with me? Another question, what emotion or what feeling is underneath that? What emotion or what feeling is underneath that? So this is a great question to ask someone who presents as having a very short, a small range of emotions. So like if it's someone who's just always excited, right? And you sense that, like, obviously excitement is great, but it's not always serving them. You might ask what's underneath that. One of the ways that I use this question, or one of the most common ways that I use the what's underneath that question, is when a client is sharing a lot that they're confused or have a lot of worry or anxiety. So in my experience, when an individual is very confused, sometimes they might be in a resistance archetype of confusion. We'll get there in a month or two. But a lot of the times when they're confused or have a lot of anxiety or worry, that's just the surface level. What's oftentimes underneath that is either fear or anger or excitement. But they don't know it because, again, they have such a short range of, like, how they think they respond to things. They just their MO is to always go into worry or always go into confusion, right? So if you can ask, well, if there is an emotion that's right underneath that, and you may have to do a little visualization, get them connected into their body. What do you feel right underneath that? You can kind of get into the core of things there. I was just going to share something else about that. I just lost it. Oh, sometimes there's love underneath something, right? Maybe somebody, screamed at their partner and this and that. And, you know, you may look at how they can react differently next time or whatever, but maybe first they need to see that they're not a bad person or they're not just reactive or whatever. You know, what's underneath that? Oh, there's so much love there, right? Another feeling or body question is to go to imagery. Imagery can be very much associated with feelings and also to cement things into the body. So maybe a client is describing a situation. What's an image or a metaphor that reflects that situation? You can also, as the coach, provide an image or a metaphor. So, for example, something like, you know, as you're talking about what you want to do in your business and what you're ready for, It really reminds me of a racehorse that's just waiting behind the gate for the gate to be pulled open. It's like raring to go. Does that land for you? Am I getting that right? Right. It will help them, again, plug into that feeling of readiness, of excitement that's there. And then that will be motivating to move forward. Another way of asking a feeling or body question is, for example, what would feel light to you here? So if you know, for example, that a client values lightness, right, just overall, or in that particular session, they keep on talking about like wanting to feel light, right? So what would feel light for you, or what would help you feel happy? All right, next category of questions, motivation questions. When an individual is aware of their motivation, when your clients, you, whoever, are able to identify why they're motivated to do something, 9 times out of 10, it's easier for the client to move forward on the goal. Identifying the goal, in my experience, is almost all times never enough. Just identifying, you can't identify and then go into strategizing and then executing. There has to be a motivation behind it that the client is aware of. So a great question to ask in that situation is why? Why do you want to quit your job? Why do you want to free up 2 hours in your schedule every week? Why do you want to start teaching Chinese medicine? You know, instead of just taking it at face value, a client says, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot and I want to add such and such content to my class. Ask them why, right? They may already know the why, by the way, but the articulating it, the being seen and heard in it will take an extra minute, but it will make it so much more powerful. Another way of asking that question is, well, what's your deep why for this, right? Or why is this so important to you, right? Maybe they're talking about starting one of my clients, few years ago, on top of her business, started a not-for-profit dog rescue. That's great. It's awesome. Like, of course, we can guess at why a client would do that, right? But in a situation, you want to ask, like, why is that so important to you? So they can really nail that down and get more motivated. Or what about that really excites you? Or what value will this experience have for you? That's another way of getting at the motivation. What value does this experience have for you? When you ask the why questions, the other purpose is if something isn't aligned for the client, like if they've come up with an idea and it's actually not right for them, as soon as you start looking at the why or asking motivation questions, if you ask them well, the client will see that it's the wrong motivation to do it, and then you can together retweak to get to the actual thing that they're meant to be doing. All right, next category, this is one of my favorites. I call it percentage and number questions. So percentage and number questions, you want to ask these questions when a client, when you as the coach sense that a client needs to distinguish reality from the story that they're telling themselves. So when you're listening to a client and you sense that they're lying to themselves, there's lots of different strategies you can use of a client is lying to themselves. You can You can reflect the truth, right, going back to creating awareness. You know, you can ask the question, what's the truth and what's the reality here? That can be very effective. But you can also use a percentage or a number question. So an example of that is, let's say a client is sharing with you that they are just, they're messing up all the time. Like, no, I'll put it in a business context. They're sharing that, you know, my clients just hate me, right? Like, they're not getting good results. I'm not doing a good job, you know, on and on, right? There might be some reality in there. We don't want to deny that maybe there's some problems there with their clients. But they need help distinguishing reality from the story there. So you could ask a question like, let's break your clients down into percentages. How many of your clients are satisfied right now and how many aren't, right? So it will take the client also out of black and white thinking. It's either all good or all bad, and bring them into the reality. Okay, these are the things that are bad, but also these are the things that are good, right? Or another example of this, you can also use this when a client is confused maybe about something. It's similar to helping them distinguish the reality from the story. You can say something like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how often do your clients back out of working with you? Or what percent, right, what percentage of the time? I'm trying to think of a good 1 to 10 scale question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to do that, right? Whatever that is, do online dating, start a new exercise, habit. You know, so that's like the confusion piece that I'm talking about too. Like, a client might say something, but you're not actually sure that they're fully behind it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you or how willing are you? If a new idea has come up, and your client is saying they're going to do it, but you're not 100% sure they will, on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you? Or if a new idea comes up and your client's talking about it, but they're saying they don't really want to, they have, you know, this problem, that, the other one, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you? How much do you want this, right? And then based on the number, you would ask follow-up questions from there. So for an example, this is a little bit on sequencing. Let's say a client of mine is talking about a new project, and it's a little bit of a stretch for them. I'll say to them, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how ready do you feel to do this? If they answer, like, you know, usually if they answer anything like 5 and under, I might go a different direction than this. But usually if they're talking about a new project, they'll answer 5 and over. Let's say they say an 8, right? I'm at an 8 feeling ready to do this. So I'll say to them, okay, great, you're 80% of the way there. What do you need to get to a 10? Or we're never really at a 10 when we go to stretch ourselves. What do you need to get to that 9 so that you can really be ready to do it? Or what do you need to believe to get to that 9? Or what needs to be put in place to get to the 9? So the percentage or number questions are great, like, assessment questions too, in a way. All right, I want to briefly, I'm going to do this next category briefly because we're going to go a lot into obstacles in future calls, but I did just want to mention, you know, here that there, another category is uncovering the obstacle questions, right? So if a client's got an obstacle standing in their way, you might ask, what's standing in your way? Why is this challenging? What are you scared of? one of my favorite questions to uncover an obstacle, like let's say a client persistently says they're going to do something, but then they don't, and they don't understand why they're not doing it. Sometimes you need some of the fancier techniques like the shadow and the befriending your fear and all of that, but sometimes, you know, the what are you scared of question, but here's the other one that is one of my favorites. What would be at risk for you if you were to accomplish that? Or what would be at risk for you if you were to attempt that? Sometimes I'll spell the question out in a longer way. What relationship or what part of yourself or what piece of your identity or what belief would be at risk for you if you were to accomplish that? Or if I've got a hunch that it's about something in particular, I'll modulate that question too. What would be at risk in your relationship if you were to take that speaking gig? The what's at risk question can really help uncover the obstacle and the fear pretty quickly. Sometimes a client is going to be blocked in answering some of these questions. And again, that's when we'll get to some of the fancier techniques. But sometimes you can just say, like if you say, what are you scared of? And they just don't know. They don't know. They don't know. You can say, it's okay if you don't know. Let's just, like, just pretend that you know a fraction of the answer here. Like, just take a guess. What might it be? Sometimes that can help. All right. Next category, strategizing questions. I know we, again, similar to visioning, we did a whole, you know, we did a whole call or two just on strategizing. Again, I'm talking about like more of the little strategizing here than like the big strategy that you're going to create after a big vision. So if a client has like a new idea or a new something comes up in a session, what are three actions you can take this week to, right? How do you plan to achieve that? What can you change about this immediately? What would you like to do differently here? Sometimes when you're strategizing with a client, big strategizing or little strategizing, you will get the sense, it'll be like a hunch, or the client will just share it directly because they'll have awareness of it, that they're overwhelmed with what needs to get done, or they're taking on too much. Or you might know that this particular client has a tendency to take on too much or does too much. In that case, and this usually goes hand in hand with strategizing questions, you want to ask some getting support questions. Questions like, who can help you with this? What can you delegate? What request can you make? If you knew they would say yes, what would you ask help for? The other category of questions that might be appropriate if a client is overwhelmed or is taking on too much are simplifying questions. What can you say no to starting today? What can you simplify here? What's no longer aligned here? What's no longer a priority here? What's no longer serving? What is the real priority here? Right? And then you can assess what's not. What are you tolerating here? I'm going to keep on going with a few more categories before I break for questions, because I've still got a couple more here. Next category, another one of my favorite categories, I call them integration questions. So as I've shared with you before, I always ask an integration question at the end of every session. So no matter what, and by the way, I do this with every retreat, with every, you know, group. I ask you guys a quick integration question at the end of each of these calls. It's usually the takeaway question, right? What are you taking away? You always want to ask this question after a lot of ideas have been shared, a lot has happened. Use just something to help the client integrate. So that definitely can come at the end of a session. But I also sometimes like to ask integration questions when a client, we've just had like an intense conversation. There's still more to go in the session, but there are a lot of pieces that have come forward, and I want to help the client prioritize what's most important to them. Or they've been like, we've been playing with a couple of concepts, and learning has happened, and new ideas have happened, but I just feel like it needs to gel just a little bit more. I'll ask an integration question. So here are some examples of those. What are you seeing for yourself here? The question I ask a lot. You know, we've just looked at a fear, or unpacked a situation in a relationship. So, what are you seeing for yourself here? Or what's important about everything we just spoke about? Or what's important about this? What are you learning from this part of the conversation? What feels most important to you about this conversation? What are you taking away? And also, what's the wisdom that's coming forward here? That's a spirit level question again, but it's a great integration question. What's the wisdom that's coming forward here? Next question, or next category. I spoke a little bit about this last week, yes or no questions. So as I was sharing last week, 90% of the time you want to ask open-ended questions. You don't want to ask a question that the answer is yes or no to. But there are special situations that a yes or no question can create a breakthrough or a massive integration or a commitment in a second, right? So, and the reason is because if you don't want to use them a lot, because then it just gets, you know, overused, right? And it doesn't have as much meaning. But if you use it at the right moment, maybe it's after you've really looked at a situation from all angles, done a lot of visioning, the client was tentative, but you feel like they're really willing to commit, then ask the yes or no question. Are you willing to commit to this new schedule, right? Again, you're not going to do that at the beginning of a conversation, but towards the end, after you've looked at the fears and the blah, right, are you willing to commit? Or are you ready to let go of your attachment to your mother's validation? It's, in a way, it's the yes or no question is really on the body, you know, body level, spirit level, heart level. It's like, it's about really making an internal decision, a yes or no, and affirming it. So those can be really powerful if used at the right moment and used a little dramatically, I would say. I'm prone to drama, so there you go. All right, next category, interruption questions. I always get asked about, you know, how, you know, do you interrupt clients, I think maybe even already in this cycle of sacred depth, somebody has asked that. Do you interrupt, right? And the question is yes. There are moments for interruption questions. If you sense that a client is rambling on, is giving more details than necessary, is using a lot of chatter to distract themselves from what's really going on, is like, you know, talking themselves into a tizzy, you want to use an interruption question. So usually when I use an interruption question, I'll say something first, like, I'm going to interrupt you here, right? And sometimes I'll explain why, sometimes not, and then I'll ask the question. So, for example, what's the essence of what you're saying? Or what feels most important about all the details you're sharing? Or I sense you're beating around the bush here. What are you avoiding? Or what's the core here that you're getting at? All right. We've got three more categories before we look at a couple sequences. Next category, challenge questions. So challenge questions are not exactly questions. They're more like invitations. So you want to use these in a moment when a client is ready to stretch beyond their perceived limitations in a serious way. I'm going to say that again. In a moment when a client is ready to stretch beyond their perceived limitation in a serious way. Challenge questions lovingly push a client beyond what she thinks is possible for herself. It can also be used, speaking of sequencing, as a follow-up to a yes or no question. So if a client has just committed to something, you might issue them a challenge. Challenges need to have measurable action. So here are some examples. I challenge you to generate 3 enrollment conversations this week. Now, I'll usually follow up a challenge with a question. So, because the challenge part isn't exactly a question, I'll usually say, like, how does that land for you? Or what do you think? Right? I challenge you to stop complaining for a full week, to go on a complaining diet for a full week. What do you think? I challenge you to reduce your expenses this month. I sense that what you just shared, here's another way to do a challenge. I sense that what you just shared is actually way too easy for you. How can you go further there? So you're challenging, right? Now, when you present a challenge, your client can accept the challenge, they can decline the challenge, or they might want to negotiate the challenge. I don't think I can generate 2 sales calls this week, but 3 sales calls this week, but I can generate 2. Right? So because they can always either accept, decline, or negotiate, the trick when you make the challenge is to make it really motivating, right? You're never going to do a challenge out of nowhere. It's always going to be based on the client's desired results, on their pacing. Remember, we looked at pacing in our strategizing. We're like everything that you know about them, their values, right? The trick is to make it relevant and motivating, but also not shameful if the client isn't up for it, right? Because the worst thing is to issue a challenge and either have the client accept, but only because they feel ashamed, right? Or have them decline and feel ashamed. We don't want that. We want to issue it in a way that there's room for negotiation in there. That's why I like to ask, how does it land for you, or what do you think, or, you know, does that work, or is there something, or is there a better challenge here for you? Next category, similar to the challenge, but a little bit different, confrontational questions. These are bold and fierce questions. These are questions that take courage on your part as the coach, because they're bold and they're fierce, and they may piss off the client. They may piss off the client a little bit, which is why energetics are so important, right? Because the safer the container, the bolder and fiercer you can get in the right moment. So these confrontational questions are questions that actually, like, I know confrontation sounds bad, but sometimes a client needs a pattern break, right? They're just stuck in the same pattern, emotional pattern, action pattern, belief pattern, whatever it is. They actually need, they need a break and a confrontation in a way, right? Bold and fierce. So these are questions that help clients jump over blocks by, because you as the coach are being slightly confrontational with the client. You're helping break the pattern. But of course you're being loving at the same time. Loving also, always has to come with the bold and fierce and the confrontational. You, before you ask a confrontational question, it's important, I want you to star circle and underline what I'm about to say. It's really important to make sure that your client is in the right emotional place before you ask a confrontational question. If a client is super raw, you know, or overly emotional in the moment, or, you know, already, you know, justifiably angry in the first place, not a resistance archetype of anger, but like justify, that's not a moment for a confrontational question. But if it is the right moment, here are some examples. What if what you just shared was actually not true at all? Right? You're confronting the client there. What if what you just shared just isn't true? Another way of saying that is, I feel like I want to call BS on what you just said. What do you think about that? Right? So just straight up calling BS. But, you know, the important part is, what do you think about that, right? Or how does that land for you? Another example, is it possible, this is a yes-no question. There might be a better way to ask this one. I'm just noticing right now I phrase this as not open-ended. Is it possible that this your relationship is wrong for you? You know, they're talking about a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a client, team member. Is it possible the relationship is wrong for you? Or how have you been clinging on to this relationship to keep you safe? Now, that would be a confrontational question if the client has just never considered that they're clinging on to the relationship, right? Sometimes suggesting that they're just clinging on, that can be just a confrontation, but a good, right, because it's a pattern break in how they're thinking about something. I'm just checking time here. All right, two more categories. Encouraging questions. You want to use these when a client is really thinking about stretching herself, is like really on the verge of stretching into the next place, but she needs extra encouragement or assurance or motivation. If someone is like almost there, you don't want to leave it at that. That's the moment to ask an encouraging question. So, for example, what do you need to say yes to creating an online dating profile? Right? Like, there, she's almost there. Right? And this is, encouraging questions are also great as follow-ups to the percentage or number questions. Another example, it feels like you're almost there. What do we need to tweak, inner or outer, so that you feel ready to create your online dating profile? Right? So it's first just creating awareness. It feels like you're almost there. You can see that you're almost there. What do we need to tweak so that you can be ready? All right, and then last category for today, and then I'll talk about a couple of sequences, but last category for today, assessment questions. So we've already looked at some of the questions that, you know, a lot of these fall into different categories, right, more than one, but assessment, there are moments where there's really two moments for assessment. So one is at the end of a project. I really believe, like, before we move on, we move from one project to the next, the most learning that we can garner from the experience is going to help us move to the next. And so that those are great moments for assessment. And then another good moment for an assessment is if something just isn't working really well, to try to get it back on course. So usually when you're going to ask assessment questions, you'll ask a whole series of these, not just one in isolation. So I like to ask, you know, so what's working here? Or if you've finished a project, you know, what really worked about it? Or what do you want to celebrate? You know, what's working really well? What's not working so well here? And either of those questions, you might follow up with a why. What's not working so well? Well, clients aren't that engaged. Okay, why? Why is that happening, right? Helping them assess. And then another assessment question that I love, I do assessments regularly for my business, like once a year, you know, beginning of the year. I do this with my clients too, and also with projects, whatever. But anyway, what have you learned? The good, the bad, and the ugly, what have you learned, right? And things come out like, I learned that I'm more courageous than I think I was. I learned that I need to really stick to my 48-hour cancellation policy. I learned that I need to get help when blah, 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 blah. I learned that I get really excited when blah, 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 right? Assessment questions. Okay, let's see. How do I want to? I'm just going to go ahead and share a couple of sequences, and then I'll open up for questions, and then I'll give homework. I think it'll be better if I just keep on going. All right. So, again, we're going to get into tons of sequences in future classes and modules, but I want to just give you a couple right now, just to, you know, to start thinking about. So, first, I mentioned this at the beginning of the call, simple sequence, reflect the truth, and then ask a question. So, for example, you don't have to be a victim here. You have choice. What would you like to do? Right? That was a reflection of the truth, and then ask the question. Or here's another example of this sequence. The most effective way of expanding your community is either through networking or JV projects or Facebook ads. What feels aligned for you over the next 6 months, right? So that's when somebody needs some consulting, right? Create awareness by consulting and then ask the question. Here's one more example of that sequence. The longer you continue to cling on to this belief, the longer you're likely to suffer. And then you might follow that up with a yes or no question. Are you willing to let this belief go? Here's another sequence. Awareness plus insight plus action. Awareness plus insight. So this is plus action. So this is something that I developed when I first started coaching, and I kind of noticed a little bit how to help how I yielded results for myself and how to help clients yield results is to first you need awareness around your situation, right? So in order to get to where you want to go, whatever your goal is, first you need awareness, either around your current situation, where you are, or where you want to be. It's more like, you know, the facts, right? And then from there, that's not enough to start taking action yet. Then from there, you need some insight, right? Now that you have the awareness, get some deeper insight on what's happening here in the situation. And then from there, develop the action that's required. So the way that that might look, for example, is, so first an awareness question. So what's standing in your way here? What are all the things that are standing in your way? Say a client wants to reach a certain result. What are some of the things that are standing in your way? Those are creating, you know, awareness questions, clarifying the situation, that kind of thing. Next thing is now help your client get more insight, right? That this can take lots of different forms, but for example, so what would be possible if you were to let go of that fear you just mentioned that's in your way? Now, yes, there's a whole befriend your fear process. You might do that whole process here to get the insight or not, right? But what would be possible, right? And then move to a series of questions around action. So what action can you take around this? And my point here is most of the time you don't want to start with an action question. The client really needs awareness and insight before they can articulate an aligned action. And then another sequence is mind plus heart plus spirit plus action, which is a little bit like the four levels of learning and processing. Mind, first an intellectual question, then a heart-based question, and then a spirit-based question. And then the last one isn't body, but body and action are very related because they're both about earth, right? And then what action do you want to take? I hope you're seeing a little bit of a trend here. I rarely ever go through a whole session without getting to action steps. But usually the action steps aren't going to be in the beginning, right? But we're not going to leave without action steps. They may not always be outer. They might be inner, right? But we're always getting to, like, okay, what's the strategy by the end of the session? So here's an example of mind plus heart plus spirit plus action. Mind question would be, well, what do you know that you want in a relationship? What do you know that you want in a relationship? Then the heart question, or, again, each of these, it could be a series of them, right? But then moving on to the heart, an example might be, so how does it feel to not have that relationship right now? Or you could ask, how would it feel to have that relationship? And then the spirit question could be, what does your inner wisdom want you to know about moving towards that relationship? What is your inner wisdom? What is spirit, right? What is your to know about this? And then action might be, what's something you can do this week to support that inner wisdom that just came forward? So you might kind of be thinking, oh, my God, this is so overwhelming. There's so many categories. I've taken so many notes. There's sequences. How am I going to think these things through, this and that? And what I want you to know is it's about practice, right? So they're not going to just all be at your fingertips to start with. But the homework that I'm going to give you this week, that I want you to continue to practice, it will just help you be more adept with all of this. The other thing I want to share is that when I first started coaching, I may have already shared this with you guys, I was terrified I wasn't going to know the right questions to ask. And so literally, I think the first 2 months that I coached, I had open like 3 different lists of possible coaching questions I could ask. I'd be on the phone and I'd have just these sheets of paper out in front of me, like in case I just didn't know what to ask, that I could pick a random question. And I know on some level that sounds silly, but I actually think it helped me a lot not freak out in the moment and find good questions to ask. So you might want to do that for yourself. And I've actually, for this week, I include a list of 50 common coaching questions a lot, which we covered on today's call. But I would keep out your notes from today's call. And then if you've got a buddy, a practice partner, more practice on this, what I want you to do is really slow it down in this week. Partner session, take a little time before you ask your questions. Look over the question sheets. Think about sequences. Slow it down. And then when you do breakdown with your partner, focus specifically on the question asking. Why you asked, talk about why you asked the questions that you did. Work together to look for different questions. If you are working with clients this week, I want you to do a couple of things. Number one, the thing that I started with, particularly if you're a seasoned entrepreneur, I really want to challenge you. I'm issuing a challenge. I want to challenge you to mix it up. Don't only use your your fallback questions that you always use. Yes, I know they're really effective, which is why you use them, but practice breaking out of the box. You break out of the box, your clients will break out of the box. I want you to also practice with your clients the bold questions, some more. I want you to really break patterns. See if you can break some patterns this week. And we'll get more into breaking patterns further on, but I want you to be bold and fierce in your questioning. Lean in, trust your hunches, and be willing to get in your clients' faces a little bit. And then the other way you can practice with questions is either at the end of a coaching session, and partners, you can do this one too, either at the end of a session or after a session, think of an additional 3 questions that would have been great for that client and send it to them as journaling homework if they're willing. So practice, right? Continue to fill out those assessment sheets that I provided for you a week or two ago. That will also help with getting the questioning muscle stronger. And that journaling practice that I offered you last week, where you write out your own situation and then give yourself 3 journaling questions to think on. All of these things are going to help. The other thing I recommend, and some of you have been asking me about this, is do more partner coaching. The more that you can practice, the better. Post on in our Facebook group, see maybe you want to practice with some different people. Get more practice in. And then if it helps you when I model coach, I'm going to be doing a public practicum, like a public demo, community demo on March 21st at 1. So mark your calendar for that. You'll get information on it. And then, of course, next week we've got our practicum in this program, and it's going to be one of our very interactive calls where we'll be looking at client situations and have opportunity to practice questions. All right, before we wrap, we still have a couple of minutes. I'd love to hear any questions about questioning that you have for me. Sophie, I'd love to hear back from you now that we went through some more categories. And I'd also love to hear takeaways, right? So take a moment, write down, what's your takeaway? Write down at least one big takeaway from this call or something new that you want to try. And star 2. Questions or takeaways that you have for me. Kara.
Hi. My takeaway is around the sequence of questions. I found that just to be really helpful structure. But my question was around the body question. Mm-hmm. So in my own kind of personal work, I've practiced inquiry where, I'm asked questions and it's often like body driven of like, okay, we'll go into where that is in your stomach or in your heart and like really feel it. And the idea is that you, like, sit with the emotion mm-hmm. until it shifts. And then when it shifts, that, you know, new insights come and, like, the actual physical sensation changes dramatically. And that's, you know, something that I signed up for to do. And I've, like, danced around doing this with my clients. But I'm sometimes nervous about, like, if they've never done that type of work before and it doesn't, if they're not able to feel anything, if it then kind of backfires.
Yeah. So what I find important when I'm doing more, like, deeper body sensation, you know, visualization, meditation, and I'll also, we'll get more into those. You know, I did a little bit demoing on that in the visioning, but we'll get even more into it on. But one thing I find is really important is the setup. And what I mean by that is to say there's no way, there's no wrong way of doing this. As we move through, some people, they get information really quickly. For other people, it takes longer. For other people, it doesn't hit them until you're in the shower the next day. It's all good. So that way, it just, like, deflates the pressure and the am I going to do it wrong and the self-judgment. And then it also gives you as the coach and the facilitator there some more freedom to, like, switch it up if they're not getting it, you know, and go in some different directions and make it okay and good and valuable no matter what.
Right. Would you even suggest for someone who's not used to doing that, but, you know, I sense could get a lot of value from it, just saying, to asking their permission, are you open to, like, closing your eyes and tuning into your body a little bit more?
If you feel they need it, get more permission. And then the other thing is, I don't often do this, but I do it sometimes, and I'll offer it to you. I think you'll know when. Some people get their body wisdom from feeling. Some people get their body wisdom from hearing. Some people get their body wisdom from seeing, right? So you may give different you may either try to find that out first, or if not, just give different options as you do that, right? So for some people, it's feel into your heart. But for other people, it's look at your heart. What do you see there? What's the shape? What's the quality? Is it hot? Is it cold? How is it beating? Is it right? So give people options to find what they need in it. If you keep it just on the feel, it can be harder, especially if someone's not used it.
Perfect. That's really helpful.
Awesome. You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to take Brooke. And Sophie, I'd love for you to come back on. I want to hear if you got any more clarity. If not, I'll help you on that client situation, but I'd love to hear what you're seeing. In the meantime, Brooke.
How are you doing, Amanda? Well, I'm taking so much away from our time today, but one thing that's really resonating for me is using integration questions within the session to really process and, as you say, allowing deep, intense learning to gel before moving on. It's one thing I've noticed in my coaching sessions with my partner, and there's two or three things on the table, really letting that sink in before we move on to the next piece. So thank you for that. And I did have a question that came up for me this week in my coaching buddy session, which is, what if we don't get to everything that your client would like to receive for the session? Is there a way to use questions to plant seeds that can be returned to the next session and there effective way that doesn't take too much time at the end?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of pieces to that. The first is, you know, when you listen to their intentions at the beginning of the call, you might just already know, like, you can't get to everything in those 45 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever, and so you might just already set that up in the beginning. We'll try to get through all of it, but I sense we may not get through it all. Let's prioritize, you know, what do you want to look at first? What do you want to look at second? So that's one piece. But then the other piece is if you don't get to things, then I usually, you know, I like to say, I know that you wanted to also look at X today. We didn't get to it. Would you like to shoot me an email? You know, and I can shoot you some questions back or some thoughts back. Or if I already know the situation, I can say, I'll send you a couple questions to think about for that. Or I'll say, you know, it's a really big and tender topic, and we really need the container of our voice to voice. So is it okay if we save that for next time?
So helpful. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Excellent. All right, last call. Anyone else before we wrap for today? All right. I hope you have fun playing around and experimenting with questions this week. Keep me posted. Let me know what you need. I'll talk to you soon.